Hello and welcome to another version of the Matt Ryan's PooStain.com podcast. Today, Torsten and I will be breaking down the first half awards for baseball. We'll start in the National League with the MVP. And I got to go with a guy who is helping leading a team to a above 500 record for the first time since, 92, 91, Andrew McCutchen. He's hitting, almost 300, got a dozen home runs. He's 15 for 20 stolen bases. The guy is just running it and, table setter for that team and excellent defense out in the outfield, center field.
Don't you think your MVP should be an all-star?
Yeah, well, he should be an all-star.
McCutchen's having a ridiculously good season. He is incomparable right now as far as outfielders go in Major League Baseball. I think probably only Matt Kemp has him as far as overall ability goes, but they're two different styles of ball player.
That, and I would have selected Matt Kemp if the Dodgers didn't suck.
Oh, absolutely. Matt Kemp might be the best player in the National League right now, but he's not the most valuable player because, like you said, his team blows big fat donkey balls is basically what it boils down to. But I can't say anything to disagree with your pick at all because McCutchen is certainly an MVP candidate. And if somehow the Pirates stay alive and get a wild card or something like that, then he'd have to merit serious consideration. And for not dissimilar reasons, my NL MVP pick is Lance Berkman.
Yes.
And to think that there's been a lot of adversity in St. Louis this season. Adam Wainwright going down with Tommy John surgery. Pujols has had injuries. And when he's been healthy, he's not been Pujols.
Oh, by the way, he just got out of the machine shop. Yeah, today is Wednesday, July 6th. 16 days after he broke his wrist, he's starting today.
Yeah, there's something wrong with him. I saw Transformers, not the third one because I heard it sucked, but I saw the first two. And
I think they're biographies about Albert Pujols.
Yeah, probably. But I don't think that... And to think, what did they get him for, whatever it was probably a bargain, especially after how dreadful he was last season with the Yankees, especially in the second half. They're nowhere without him. I really believe that, and he's had an absolutely incredible renaissance this season, and he's my MVP.
Berkman absolutely merits some votes there.
Any honorable mentions for you?
Another team that's just over 500 with basically one star, and that's Jose Reyes. We talked before this, the crazy stat of the season so far. Torsten mentioned the 15 triples. There's only two other active players that have had 20 triples in a season. And Guy already has 15 in the first half. He's going to be a huge free agent this coming off season, and the guy very well, if the Mets stay in the hunt, could merit some MVP votes.
Yeah, if he doesn't suffer a serious hamstring injury, then yeah, he's absolutely ridiculous. A-Rod, who's not known for being a flawless source of anything these days, called Jose Reyes the best player in the universe, and he's probably not too far off. My honorable mentions for NL MVP, Ryan Braun and Brian McCann. And basically, Ryan Braun mirrors the stats of Matt Kemp, except he's on a good team. And Brian McCann, the question with the Braves was this season, are they going to hit? They've got the pitching, are they going to hit? And the answer, of course, is no. But one guy is, and his name is Brian McCann. He's a complete catcher. He throws guys out, stops balls in the dirt, gets on base 40% of the time, and hits for power on average.
You mean you haven't been impressed with Freddie Freeman so far this year?
Well, double-digit home runs from a rookie. Fine. I digress.
All right, let's move over to the NL Cy Young. I don't like this pick. I don't like the team. But, God, you got to like watching Roy Halladay pitch.
That's too easy. He's a god among men.
I watched him in Toronto this past weekend. When he went back into Toronto pitch, he had another complete game. He's 60th since 01, when the next closest person has 32. The guy has a sub 2.5 ERA. Here's the stat that is just bizarre to me. His strikeouts per nine is 8.6. His strikeouts to walk is 7.71. The dude has nearly 8 strikeouts per walk. That's just unfathomable.
I came up with a solution to Roy Halladay's dominance, and hear me out on this one, but I think instead of 60 feet 6 inches, whenever he pitches, they need to move the mound backs to 74 feet and 9 inches. It's about an approximate 14.6% increase, which is probably about how much better he is than the next best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I can't.
The Cy Young should be really the non-Roy Halladay Award.
Yeah, exactly. There should be a second place.
Yes.
So, which is precisely why I decided to skip over Roy Halladay, because that kind of stuff goes without saying. And I went with Jair Jurgens.
You know what? He's the guy I have written down as my honorable mention. Absolutely. He's been pitching out of his mind for Atlanta.
It's stupid. And he's got baseball's best sinker, and he's finally got a little bit of command. It was always the 4.5 walks per nine innings that kind of kept him from realizing his full potential. But he's sub-2 ERA. We knew Atlanta was going to pitch. They thought that Tommy Hansen was going to be the ace, and he has been an ace and a huge all-star snub, in my opinion. But Jair Jurgens, overcoming shoulder problems, sub-2 ERA, 10 wins, 9 or 10 wins, whatever it is, has been outstanding.
Safe to say that Atlanta is Netherlands friendly with Andrew Jones and Jair Jurgens both coming to light in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, somewhere in Curacao, somebody's smiling. And I have an honorable mention for Cy Young.
Oh,
and
God.
Hear me out on this, and you're going to laugh until I tell you what his stats are this season. Joel Hanrahan.
Oh, absolutely. He's the relief man of the year. Hanrahan has been out of his mind at the end of the
25 for 25 in save opportunities, an ERA of about 1.3. Tell me that Pittsburgh is 4 games or 5 games over 500 without that guy at the back end of the bullpen.
No, he single-handedly is probably saved 5 or 6 games that somebody else would not have. So absolutely.
And tell me how much money you would have lost if I would have told you the best relief pitcher in Major League Baseball this season, up to the All-Star break, was going to be Joel Hanrahan.
Well, you know, I'll be completely honest with you. I wouldn't bet damn squat on relief pitchers because, well, I would have probably bet Joaquin Soria and he lost his job for a time. So it's, you know, the old saying of don't pay for saves is proving yet again this year.
Yeah, you could have picked him up off of waivers in any fantasy draft, I'm sure of it.
All right, manager of the year thus far in the National League.
For me, it's got to be Clint Hurdle.
Okay. You know, yes, but I kind of liked Pittsburgh's lineup, and I figured they might be near 500. I'm actually picking the manager of a team that's battling for a division, and I thought they were worse than the Dodgers coming into this year, and that's Kirk Gibson in Arizona.
That's another good pick.
And, you know, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the clip, but it's been on MLB Network a few times. And Kirk Gibson was taking some batting practice and showing the guys how to run out of the box. Hits first base and blows a tire and just goes face first in the dirt. And any coach, manager that will go face first in the dirt for his players, I'll get behind.
Hey, I can't argue with that. And Kirk Gibson always, for obvious reasons, I'm old enough that I remember 88 clearly and the home run off of Eckersley. I think that Arizona's got some underrated players, Ryan Roberts being a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And I don't think...
Tatman.
Yeah. Tatman. I don't... There's a pitcher named Justin Miller, and I think he's the only one in any professional sports that has more tattoos than Ryan Roberts, but I digress. The reason I like Clint Hurdle is that, I mean, I always liked him on Colorado, but mm-hmm. I didn't think he had the firepower, well, offensively, but I don't think they had the pitching. I didn't think they gave him a real good team, and I didn't think that Pittsburgh gave him a good team, but he's working, he's doing a lot with not that much. And he's a guy that's willing to go out there and bump an umpire to support one of his players.
And you know what? He's managed to lead this team to a above 500 record with Jose Tabata and Pedro Alvarez doing pretty much nothing for him.
Yeah, and you know, Neil Walker's doing a decent job.
I like Neil Walker, but he's even up and down. They got this new kid, Alex Presley, who could be a stud. You know, you got Garrett Jones between right field and first base as one. You know, oftentimes they hit in fourth in that lineup. It's just, you know, they are scrapping together. They're bush playing scrappy.
Yeah, and they're getting a lot out of middling starting pitching, like Ross Ohlendorf, Jeff Karstens, Charlie Morton. None of these guys you would have expected to put up great numbers, but they have. And then, of course, the aforementioned Joel Hanrahan has been second to none.
Absolutely. Now, let's move on to a...
Rookie of the Year. We're not skipping Rookie of the Year.
You're right. I did actually jump over Rookie of the Year. My bad. Because I was looking forward to the Stain exclusive awards called the Dookies. But we're going to go ahead and jump up with the Rookie of the Year. Torres, why don't you go with this one first?
I don't know if he still has eligibility because I don't know exactly where the cutoff is, but Starlin Castro.
He is actually not because he was up most of the year last year.
Then I'm going to go with Craig Kimbrell because I know he still has it.
You know, Craig Kimbrell actually is who I have listed as my rookie of the year as well. He's got 25 saves. He's striking out people at an obscene amount, obscene rate.
Second in the majors, too?
Well, he's tied with Hanrahan.
Kenley Jansen.
Okay.
No, not the saves. I'm talking the strikeout for nine innings.
Yeah, but Kenley Jansen, the K to walk is probably about one.
Yeah, well, when you're striking out 44 guys in 20 innings and you've got 20 walks.
You know, the guy that is probably leading the ballot for most people is the second baseman up there in Washington.
Espinosa or whatever.
Danny Espinosa. Yeah. His batting average is low. I think it's in the 230s. But this guy's got 15 home runs from second base, I believe trailing only Ricky Weeks for the position. He actually might be ahead of Ricky Weeks. I'd have to go double check that.
Weeks has something like 20 already. It's stupid numbers.
But
Dan Uglas got nothing.
Speaking of which, let's run over to the Dukies. The worst hitter in the National League goes to. His name is Dan. Oh, God, he's looking ugly, Ugla. His 173 average is pitiful.
I agree with you. I mean, you I asked before, is Atlanta going to hit? And the answer is no. And one of the reasons is that they went ahead and traded the pretty much awesome in every way Omar Infante to Florida for Dan frickin' Ugla, who's always had decent pop, but his average has always been pitiful.
And he looks in the field like he did that All-Star game a few years back where he boots everything.
In one inning.
And you know what? I've been a fan of Omar Infante since he came up with Detroit. The guy just plays anywhere, plays everywhere, hits, has sneaky pop. And Dan Uglas just been... I mean, he's got his 12 home runs, but of those 12 home runs, would you like to know how many RBIs he has this season?
27-something?
29. 29. He hardly has double... just over double RBIs he has home runs.
Those are some awesome
He's just
numbers
not
there.
Hitting in any important situation.
I think that's an excellent choice for the worst hitter. And believe it or not, I actually mentioned Dan Uglas, but I didn't pick him on my list. And I probably would have had I had the forethought before our podcast today to add him to it. But I'm going to let a little bit of homerism here rule my pick.
The Dodgers, I believe, is his answer.
Yeah, the Dodgers is my pick. I had a couple guys on this list. I'm going to mention my honorable mentions first and why I did not actually pick them. One is Ian Stewart. And Colorado, I think, was relying heavily on this guy to provide some offense from third base,
you know,
as they contend for the division. And they're not in contention right now because Ian Stewart went 3-47 and got sent to the minors.
The only reason I don't count, I didn't even consider Ian Stewart, is because I don't consider him a big league player.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had something like 20-plus home runs last year, and they were hoping for something, and they got nothing. But with only 47 at-bats, they basically cut their ties before it got too ugly.
I'll be honest, I liked him. He was on a few of my fantasy leagues this year.
Yeah, I took flyers on him and got bitten for it. The other honorable mention I have is Jason Hayward, who is hitting about .220 for Atlanta. And again, you know they're not going to hit. This is one guy, though, I really think he's going to turn it around because he's really too good not to, and eventually he'll make adjustments.
It's about as smooth a swing from the left side as I've seen since Griffey. His swing is just smooth.
Yeah, I like Ethier's better, but Hayward has got ungodly power, and he's gonna hit. He can't not hit. His strikes on discipline isn't as bad as it's been so far. But anyway, we're gonna go right to my just to save time here. We're gonna go to my winner of the NL Dookie for worst hitter, and that's Juan Uribe. Now, I didn't have super high hopes for this guy to begin with, but I didn't think that he would be battling the Mendoza line with four home runs, and inexplicably Don Mattingly keeps sticking him in the lineup, and explicably he keeps hitting absolutely dreadfully. We're talking about swinging at pitches way out of the strike zone when ahead in the count, trying to pull pitches a foot off the plate to the outside. He has absolutely in every way, shape, or form been the worst hitter in the National League for me so far this season, and it's not close. We talked about Ugla, and he's actually hitting some bad luck. His batting average on balls in play is ridiculously low, and Uribe isn't that bad. He just doesn't put the freaking ball in play. So, you know, he's the Dookie Award winner, in my opinion, there.
No, the Dookie for worst pitcher, and I got to tell you, this was actually kind of difficult for me, because the AL has plenty. The NL, well, the pitchers aren't really that bad right
They're
now.
They're not.
I chose two, so I'm going to choose one as an honorable mention and then give you my winner of the Dookie. I looked at Matt Latos, and with the stuff that this guy has, there's no reason he should be 5-9 with a ERA above 4. The guy just has better stuff and way too good of a ballpark. But at the same time, he's on a terrible team. So you can't really fault him too much for that. But I'm actually going to give it to another guy on a terrible team at 3-10, who was part of a trade for Roy Oswalt, who, despite a back injury, has been pitching out of his mind this year. J-Hap has been god-awful.
He was never that good to begin with, in my opinion. I like your Latos pick. And, you know, he's the guy I had before you stole him there. Mm-hmm. So I might be reaching here. But that being said, J-Hap, I don't think he was ever that good to begin with. I think those numbers he put up in Philly that year to actually brace his stock to Roy Oswalt level was the anomaly and not the norm. And I think you're right. He's terrible. And if you look at a guy who nobody expected to be any good, like Bud Norris, for example, who's out there, and he's striking out guys like at 9-9. I mean, he's not, he's got good numbers, and he's putting up the numbers they expected J.A. Happ to have. And for me, I'm going to go homer again and go with Jonathan Broxton, just because I like picking on guys who don't fit in MRI machines. But apart from that, if you throw dead straight with no movement, at 100, you can get away with it. At 93, you can't. And when you lie to your management and training staff about elbow pain, you make me want to club baby seals. So, congratulations.
But you're an angry person. You want to do that often anyway.
Well, yeah, I do. And I'm a Dodger fan. What do you expect?
Yeah, it happens.
Am I making this too homer? No, I mean, I think my picks are legitimate, actually.
Well, next, the final Dookie for the NL goes worst manager. And do I even have to ask you who this
Don
was?
Don Mattingly. And here is why. LA Dodgers manager Don Mattingly. At first glance, you could say that he's been given an absolutely crappy team. Which he has, but there are some guys that are punching above their weight on this team. You got, if you look at Hiroki Kuroda's numbers, he's 6-9, but his ERA is under 3. Mm-hmm. And his peripherals are good too. Ks per 9, strikeouts to walks. The guy's been pitching great. Kershaw's an all-star. Billingsley is abysmal. So is Ted Lilly. But there's guys that theoretically can hit. You have Juan Uribe who's hitting 200, yet he inexplicably gets put in the lineup every flipping game, as does the always injured Casey Blake, and only recently has James Loney started hitting, while Aaron Miles in his 325 average is sitting on the bench most of the time. Jamie Carroll with his 300 average is sitting on the bench. You're playing Tony Gwynn Jr. in the outfield.
Which is still weird. I cannot get used to seeing Gwynn on the back of a Dodger blue.
And you have a top prospect named Trayvon Robinson in AAA who could be playing. You've got Trent Olchin, who's done nothing but play well whenever the once a week that he gets a chance to get thrown in there. And he's overusing the bullpen. He's using Matt Grier way too much in situations when other pitchers have been better. I don't get it. I don't understand his decision-making, and maybe this is the first year managerial blues, and I'm not saying fire him. Yeah, I am, actually. Fire him.
Well, that's what the Dodgers get for hiring a former Yankee.
Right? Seriously.
My worst manager, this is going to change significantly before the end of the year because I don't think this is going to happen. But as of last night, I've got to give it to the guy who chews toothpicks nonstop in Dusty Baker. Dusty. There's no reason that team should be under 500 right now.
No. The only thing I can think of is lack of an ace, but Bronson Arroyo's not an ace. Neither is Edison Volquez or Johnny Cueto.
Well, Volquez can't get out of the first inning most nights without giving up about 4 runs. But they've got all 3 of those guys are legit number 2 pitchers. They don't have an ace, but they have enough to go ahead and be over 500.
Yeah. Well, Joey Votto hasn't put up the numbers that, it's hard to fault the guy who's hitting over 300 with double-digit home runs. But when you're the defending MVP with a 337 average and 35 home runs, you're expecting something gaudy by the All-Star break.
Yeah, but the guy that has been doing that is the guy that I chose for the MVP this year, and that's Jay Bruce, has been hitting out of his mind so far this year.
Yeah, are we on the NL MVP at this point?
No, I'm saving that to the end of the year when my prediction proves to be right.
Oh, okay, when your prediction proves to be right.
Now let's move over to the American League.
I wouldn't mind going first on this one.
Go ahead. I happen to sneak a peek at your paper, and I think we have the same one.
Oh, we do? Okay, because I got Asdrubal Cabrera.
You know, we talked yesterday, and I said that, you know, try to go against Adrian Gonzalez, and you made the comment of, you know, yeah, but the Red Sox would still be doing well without him, which is true, but Adrian Gonzalez is very much deserving of votes. But Indians aren't anywhere near where they are without the absurdity that has been Asdrubal Cabrera's season.
Yeah, the hitting for average, power, speed, gold glove caliber defense.
Yeah, I think he has about 600 web gems so far this year. Every time you turn on the TV, he's making a play.
And I don't know if the power is real, but, you know, these are the first half awards. There hasn't been a better all-around player, in my opinion. You know, Paul Konerko has been terrific for the White Sox, but they're not a first-place team. The Indians are. And, you know, Jose Bautista, I don't know where this guy came from. He's clearly not on steroids because he's 6'1 and 130. I mean, I make the guy look, you know, the guy that makes me look like Popeye, and I'm not a shining example of physical fitness myself. But, you know, if you're the most valuable player, you better be taking your team somewhere. And right now, Cabrera is taking his team somewhere.
I will say that Asdrubal Cabrera is benefiting from the power of the stain. As the first spring training game I went to this year, Asdrubal Cabrera did go yard. And I'm going to go ahead and attribute this entire season to the power of the stain.
Like we do. We take credit where it's deserved.
Exactly. AL Cy Young. I just could not find a reason to go against Justin Verlander. His stuff is disgusting. 2.32 ERA. The guy has a whip under 1 at 0.86.
As a starter.
Yeah. As a starter, exactly. The guy, you know, he's already done it once this year. He said he wants to chase Nolan Ryan. And you know what? The guy can throw a no-hitter every time out when he's not getting tossed by your cowboy Joe West. Verlander, to me, is hands down the Cy Young in the AL.
I can't argue with it. I mean, a guy, they had a funny stat, and I saw this, and I might be off a little bit one way or the other here, but they had a thing about most 100-mile-per-hour pitches in the season, Major League Baseball, not just the AL. And Verlander was like number 4 or something, you know, because there's a few guys that throw 100 now, but he was the only guy who had all of his 100-mile-per-hour pitches from the 8th inning on and later who's not a reliever, you know, right? It's like one thing if a guy comes in the 9th and starts throwing 100.
The scary thing is the 115th pitch from Verlander is often harder than the first.
Yeah, often most of the time. And while I can't argue with your pick, I had him as my number 1 too, but just for the sake of being different, Jared Weaver has been absolutely everything you could want an ace to be for the Angels. And I hate the freaking Angels, man. I really hate the freaking Angels. I hate Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the color red. And monkeys. So I hate the freaking Angels.
Okay,
so,
you know what? Don't talk crap about monkeys.
Uh-huh.
Monkeys are awesome.
All right, well.
But the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, California really do suck.
Hoof-flinging monkeys are awesome. They make stains. But Jared Weaver, his numbers are pretty much on par with Verlander's, minus the strikeouts and the whip. But everything else is on par. ERA of sub 2. And I'm telling you, I think if anybody on the Angels could hit the damn ball, he might have 14 wins.
You mean the trade for Vernon Wells wasn't a good idea to start the season?
We're not at the Dukies yet. Can we wait until we get to the Dukies to start ruining my Dukies? Spoiler alert!
All right, let's go over to the Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Torres, why don't you jump on this one? Because I'm hoping you take mine so I can go ahead and talk up somebody I really like.
Well, I had a feeling you were going to take Michael Pineda, so I stayed away from him. And before I say anything more, you'd be right. There's really no argument against him.
And that's actually who I do have, but I want to talk up somebody else to see where you're going here.
Well, I'd never heard of Michael Pineda before the start of the season, and now I have. but as much as I'm impressed by him, he's doing what he's doing in relative anonymity on a team that was expected to suck balls, and they have, so nobody's disappointed.
Absolutely.
I've really been impressed with Ivan Nova on the Yankees. And I hate the Yankees almost as much as I hate the Angels. But here's a guy, they basically expected to get good pitch from CC Sabathia. For Christ's sake, they brought Bartolo Colon.
Big fat.
Big fat Bartolo Colon, who gets weird injections of stuff, like horse uterus or something,
yeah,
into his flab.
He has baby fat in his arm.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, something like that, basically. And, you know, a number five guy comes in. He's got 8 wins. Sure, the ERA is hovering in that 4 range, but I think that's inflated by at least half a run playing in the AL East.
You know, I may have heard this wrong, but Ivan Nova has had a great year. I believe I heard that he got sent down so that Phil Hughes could come back up.
Oh, he did, yeah. He got sent to AAA. So, and I don't get it, and I don't think he's going to stay there.
No, he won't, and he is probably the third best pitcher this year. Heck, maybe even the second best pitcher. But I just have a hard time seeing a Yankee get saddled with the Rookie of the Year. But he absolutely is deserving thus far. The guy I want to talk up is Zach Britton. I think he's about 6-8 or something like that. But he's been pitching incredibly well for Baltimore Orioles. And is actually keeping Brian Mattis down in AAA. That's all he's pitching with, as much of an upside as Mattis has. Zach Britton has been pitching great for Baltimore, but again, a team that is pitching anonymity, but also pitching the AL East, where he's seeing massive hitting lineups, but still putting up quality numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to see Adrian Gonzalez or Jose Bautista or Curtis Granderson any more than I have to, and they have to see him 19 times, you know, pretty much every half. I think they've seen him 19 times so far. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's a little bit of a crazy hurdle that the AL East pitchers have to climb. And I can't argue with you, Zach Britton. I like Jake Arrieta also.
Definitely,
he's put in a shift for Baltimore so far.
There's
this
been
season.
Some excellent rookie pitchers coming up, and there's been a ton of.
And don't forget Jordan Walden too.
He's been pitching well. Even Tyler Chatwood's been pitching well. And I know you have
next to Fernando Rodney, anybody looks good. But Jordan Walden's done a nice job over there in Anaheim.
And you know, you've got the Moustakas and the Hosmers coming up. So this at the end of the year could look very different than now because there are a ton of really talented rookies in the league.
And speaking of Kansas City. I mean, I think we all expected a little bit of something from Kila Kiawaiaoe. And
just because it's fun to say.
Yeah. Funny story for you. They were interviewing, I think it was Al Michaels or whatever, about how he got a start in broadcasting. And he said he was doing high school basketball in Hawaii. And they asked me, so how was that? I think it was Al Michaels. Anyway, they asked me, how was that? He's like, I don't know. You tell me when 5 Samoans are running on a fast break. I think I'll stay on the mainland.
Definitely.
So, all right, what are we moving on to next?
Let's go ahead and knock out the manager of the first half of the American League. And is there any question that Manny Acta in Cleveland?
Oh, there's not. There's no question. I was trying to think of a way around picking Manny Acta.
So was I. It's just too easy. As of last night, they were 45-39 with a team that, going into this year, I would bet dare any of you to try and name half of their starting lineup.
Right? I could name Sin Su Chu,
Matt
Travis Hafner.
And Pronk, our favorite drunken man.
Yeah.
They've just been above anybody's expectations, and Manny Acta has done one hell of a job.
Oh, yes. If I had to pick a runner-up, it would be Joe Maddon, because you don't lose your best player and still contend for first place.
Absolutely.
Joe
Madden's one of the best managers in baseball, period.
Yeah. He does everything right, as much as you can as a manager.
And one of the only reasons that I kind of looked over Joe Maddon is because, well, he does it every year.
Yeah, pretty much, but he does it every year after losing somebody significant, and
absolutely.
Carl Crawford was the most significant of those losses.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he hasn't really lived up to the billing in Boston yet, he will. He's
absolutely
too good not to. But he's just, he's done amazing.
All right, with the AL Dookie for worst hitter, I'm going to go ahead and jump on this one right now because this guy is crippling me in my fantasy league.
Adam
freaking Dunn. Hit the damn ball.
Against lefties, please.
You are batting 171. You have 8 home runs when, with your size, you should be able to look at the ball and have it go over the fence. And I know he strikes out a lot. We are before the All-Star break, and he has 105 friggin' strikeouts. It's that white thing coming at you. Put a bat on it.
I have never seen somebody. Adam Dunn is too young to be seriously declining at this point. But my God. And, I knew you were going to take him, too. Which is why I'm taking, well, we already talked about Vernon Wells.
Yes.
But, again, I don't think Vernon Wells is that bad. He can't be that bad. So I'm going with Gordon Beckham, who now at this particular point in time, I think, is that bad.
You know, Gordon Beckham, also crippling my fantasy team.
I thought there was a connection between the two.
Thank you, White Sox. You suck.
I mean, he is... Gordon Beckham, I've heard for three seasons now how he's going to break out and he's going to be that big 20-20 middle infielder, third base, wherever the hell they're eventually going to play him. They got to make up their minds. He's playing Gold Glove second, but you know what? So could Juan Castro if you're willing to stomach the 200 batting average. So let's get off the Gordon Beckham gravy train. Send him down to AAA. Find a real second baseman because there's no reason the White Sox shouldn't be competing.
Absolutely. The Dookie for a worst pitcher. Why don't you jump on this one first?
All right, AL Dookie for worst pitcher, John Lackey.
Absolutely.
I jumped in there because I wanted to rub a little salt in your wounds there.
Oh, don't worry, he's here.
Oh, okay, I figured. So I'll let you go ahead and, as a Red Sox fan, run with that, and I'll switch mine to Matt Thornton.
Because I actually have a second as well, so go ahead and talk about Matt Thornton.
Yeah, I have absolutely never seen a relief pitcher who was handed a job based on a performance the previous season fail as quickly and dramatically as Matt Thornton. And I don't know what happened, but my God, that the White Sox wouldn't be in the situation they're in right now, which is way farther behind in the AL Central than they should be, if they had either gone to Jesse Crane or Sergio Santos earlier, and instead of watching Matt Thornton just collapse like a lawn chair in front of their eyes.
One of the guys I have here makes Manny Acta's job look even better. Is Fausto Carmona at 4-10 with a 5.78 ERA? Fausto Carmona has attributed to more than a quarter of the Cleveland Indians' losses this season.
I think he was a 19-game winner a couple of years ago, something like that.
Cy Young candidate, just absolute beast, a mini me to CC Sabathia. So you have looked terrible on a team that is overperforming everywhere except for you. But John Lackey, his ERA is up to almost 7.5. And I heard the most telling...
12 at home, I think.
Well, we all knew... As Red Sox fans, I yelled at the TV asking Theo Epstein what the hell he did when he signed John Lackey, who's been awful in Fenway Park, and Mike Cameron, who we are now paying all but $200,000 of his $7.25 million contract this year, so he can go ahead and sit in Florida and watch Jack McKeon have senile attacks down there. Anyway, John Lackey, the most telling stat I've heard about John Lackey that came this weekend when he blew yet another game. It was Monday. John Lackey has one quality start since April.
Oof. Oof.
Now, I've always scoffed at the quality start, because I don't remember if it's six innings and three
six
earned
innings,
runs.
Six innings, 3 runs. 4.5 ERA is not a quality start.
I've always thought the quality start was a terrible stat. It lessens the expectations for pitchers. They need to do better. But he cannot even get a game where he has an ERA under 4.5.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's stupid. And the quality start, let's just talk about the quality start for 1 second here. If you go into Colorado with a bullpen that's pitched 18 innings over the past 3 games, and your starter goes out there and he gives you 8 solid throws, 135 pitches, and gives up 5 runs, but because it's Colorado, you still win 14-5, that's a quality start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saved your bullpen, went 8 innings, and got a win in 4 billion foot altitude. You know, I hate the quality start. It's right up there. It's right up there with freaking... I don't want to get into this. Anyway, let's move forward here.
Quality start is one of the worst stats in baseball, in my opinion.
Right up there with assists in basketball. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Worst manager.
Ozzie Guillen.
You know, that's just too damn easy.
I'm going to go find Ron Washington.
Both. Absolutely. I actually, I chose the Oakland A's to win the division this year. we both were high on David DeJesus, who could very well get a dookie for worst hitter thus far. But Bob Melvin, come on, you have a much better team, a much better pitching staff. You need to be better than 38-48. You're 10 games under 500. You are a much better team than that. There's just no excuse for it.
Agreed. I don't think Melvin's done a really good job with what he has, but Ron Washington has the team to run away with that division. I thought that Mike Socia might be able to pull off a miracle, but not without a Kendry Morales. Mm-hmm. Not that Mark Trumbo's done a bad job filling in at first.
Absolutely.
The Angels shouldn't be. They're hanging around thanks to Jared Weaver and Dan Herron, and they're going to fall off. The Rangers should be 15 games over 500, and they're not. And they have the pitching. They have the hitting. They're not doing it, and the Bucks got to stop somewhere, and I think it will stop with Washington. So we're not going to talk about Ozzie Guillen and him having more temper tantrums and not managing his team right and sticking with Matt Thornton too long.
Although, I will say, when he gets fired as the coach for the White Sox, and if the NFL lockout finally ends, he may get a job as a place kicker after that kick of Giovanni Soto's mask.
I'm surprised he didn't break a toe.
Soto's reaction was classy. He just turns to his dugout and just that's like, what do I
what
do?
What do I do?
All right, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left here, and I know it's something that we both want to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go with Dookie for the worst call of the year, and that is Russell freaking Martin on the American League All-Star team, with hitting .232.
Less than that now. He's 0 for his last 12, so like .219.
Okay, so that makes it so much better. When you got guys like Victor Martinez having to go through the final vote, J.P. Arencibia with underperforming and making Russell Martin look like Adam Dunn.
Yeah.
And even Carlos Santana underperforming, but looking much better than Russell Martin. I just don't understand it. I get the guy is good behind the plate, but it's an All-Star game, and we're not watching how catchers manage the game.
Yeah, and I think part of it, this you can blame on Joe Mauer's ongoing health problems, because I think that if he's healthy, there's no need for Russell Martin in the All-Star game. But what is inexcusable also is Derek Jeter in the All-Star game when you've got Johnny Peralta, who's been Herculean for Detroit.
Peralta absolutely deserves to be there. The Derek Jeter, it's a fan selection. When you have a fan selection, it's an imperfect system.
Fans are stupid.
Fans are absolutely stupid, as you can see by this podcast here. But
exactly. I mean, we're not claiming that we're not being the pot calling the kettle black here. We're just to get that out of the way.
But, you know, it's just fan votes. It's for the fans. And unfortunately, there's too many Yankee fans with too much time on their hands.
Yeah, the fans also voted Yao Ming to start the NBA All-Star game in a season he sat out with foot surgery.
Yeah.
You know, the fans have to be kept in check at some point. You know, it's like, yeah, vote in the starters. If it's somebody who just absolutely is ridiculous, there's got to be a veto process in place. There's no reason Johnny Peralta, with his 3-something average and double-digit home runs, and the ability to play a halfway decent shortstop should not be in the All-Star game while 5,000-year-old Derek Jeter, who albeit is a class act, but he's a declining ball player, and the only reason people are paying attention to him is his quest for 3,000.
And one other thing I got to get off my chest here with this All-Star game coming up is I like the new format they're doing with the Home Run Derby where they have a couple of captains and you pick your team. But Prince Fielder, my man, the game is in Arizona. Justin Upton hits 500-foot bombs daily. Why is he not in the Home Run Derby with you? You have Matt Holliday with his 10 home runs. If you're going to pick a person from St. Louis, pick Lance Berkman. Justin Upton, without a doubt, should be in the Home Run Derby, and it's a shame that his home fans aren't going to be able to see him hit.
Yeah, and Matt Holliday and Ricky Weeks, and not that Ricky Weeks isn't having a great season. But yeah, you got to get some mashers up there, man. Take Berkman, take Upton. Matt Kemp was a good selection. He's got 23. Can't argue with that one. But, man, you know, it's in Arizona. Throw the home fans a bone.
I
think, you know, Prince Fielder is not an a-hole. I think given another chance, and if somebody would have said, dude, you got to throw the Arizona fans a bone, he probably would have done so.
Absolutely. And, you know, I like the idea, but again, it's an imperfect system when you look at David Ortiz picking all AL East players. You're not going to...
Would you pick somebody other than Jose Bautista?
You know, I know Robbie Cano and Adrian Gonzalez are in there. You know, come on. I love Adrian Gonzalez, but he's not a home run hitter. He's an excellent hitter who happens to hit home runs.
Yeah, I might have taken Paul Konerko, who is an excellent home run hitter.
Paul Konerko deserves it. Paul Konerko
should have been an all-star. One of
the, yeah, and he's in that final vote. Paul Konerko is a great guy in baseball. If you ever listen to an interview, have a chance to listen to an interview of Paul Konerko, do it. It's excellent to listen to him talk baseball.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we got to wrap up here pretty soon. Stay tuned for coming podcasts. Among other things, we're going to be talking about the upcoming EPL, English Premier League Soccer, or football, as you limeys call it. Coming up here starting in August, we are going to give you our thoughts on what's happening, including all of the transfers to date to that point. And also, provided we have an NFL season, which we are all freaking hoping we do, we are going to do a fantasy preview, and we might even have to bring a guest in for that, because a fantasy podcast without Nick Carter is not a fantasy podcast at all.
He will tell you why Jason Witten should be the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Smear you later.
Smear you later.